today, and I think it's a prophetic message, but we'll see how it comes out. Just open up your ears and listen to what the Spirit might be saying to you. We're doing our study, or continuing our study, on the book of Ephesians, and I just want to remind you of a couple things regarding the structure of the layout of this epistle. The epistle is broken up into two sections. The first three chapters, we would say that it is mostly based upon theology and doctrine. The second three chapters is the second division. It's more based on the practicality of how we walk out our faith in our everyday life. First three chapters, theology. Second three chapters, practicality. And how many of you know that we need both? It's not enough just to have doctrine or theology. That's incredibly important for our Christian faith. In fact, you'll see that as we get into the message, the importance of doctrine. Right? Doctrine, Bible, doctrine. But doctrine enough and theology enough is not enough. We've got to transition from doctrine and theology into everyday living. So unless we are practical with our theology and doctrine, we'll never make an impact. We'll never even grow up spiritually unless we begin to apply our doctrine and apply our theology in a practical way that influences our everyday life. There's also a progression in the book of Ephesians. The book is also known as the book of the maturing of the saints. There's a lot spoken about in the book that teaches us how to mature in this journey we're in with God, this journey of faith. In fact, the book is progressive in nature. In other things, it starts somewhere in the beginning as you transition into the second division. We transition into spiritual growth. The book is broken up, we could say, into three sections. The first section, the believer is seen as sitting in a passive state. In other words, the believer is just receiving from God. When we first come into the kingdom, as baby Christians and baby believers, we need to learn how to receive from the grace of God. Nothing that is based on our actions, but it's based on what God wants to give to us. So in the beginning of the book of Ephesians, the believer, there's a picture of the believer sitting with Christ. As you move on into chapter 4, the believer's not sitting anymore. There's a transition in the structure. Now the believer is walking. Walking speaks about us putting our feet to the ground and begin to walk out our Christian faith. And as you get into chapter 6, now the believer's not sitting, the believer's not walking, the believer is standing. Actually standing in chapter 6 with the full armor of God on, being victorious over the works of the enemy. And so again, you could see this progression, this spiritual maturity that the believer is traveling on, this journey from sitting to walking to standing. In fact, Paul says in chapter 6, when he brings us and gives us this picture of the believer standing with the full armor of God, he says, "Finally, brethren, put on the full armor of God." Then he gives you the details of what each piece of the armor is. The word "finally" is important because you cannot skip the progression and just think that you're going to be victorious over the work of the enemy. There is spiritual maturity to grow into to get to chapter 6. So the book is a book of spiritual maturity. And we're going to look a little bit deeper about that on that issue today. But let's go ahead and read the text that I'll be digging into, and then we'll get into our message. Starting in chapter 4 and verse 7, we're going to read through verse 16. We've read through this text before, but we've been just chipping away at it, but we're going to finish it today. Chapter 4 and verse 7, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself, Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we would grow up, that we would grow up in all things into him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, there's a lot to that whole text, and I'll show you how we're going to get through this. But before we do that, we've covered several important things in chapter 4 since we've made that transition into practical truth. In chapter 4, I'm just going to go ahead and name 8 things that we've already taken care of. I'm not going to expound on them. I just want to give them to you just to name a few. The first thing we saw is that each one of us has a calling that comes from God. Our calling is by God's design. Every single one of us has a calling from God. Number 2, we cover this, that God's calling is beyond our natural abilities. In other words, we need from God his grace and ability to serve well and fulfill that calling. Number 3, grace is imparted to each of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Number 5, the gift of Christ in the context is the 5-fold ministry gift, or the ascension gifts: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Number 5, the 5-fold gifts are given first to the church and then to creation. The 5-fold gifts are not limited to the church. They extend into creation. Number 6, the 5-fold ministry gifts are to equip the saints for their respective ministries, offices, function, or calling. There's an equipping that comes from the 5-fold ministry to the saints for the work of the ministry. Number 7, everyone is in the full-time ministry. That's important. Every single one of us, regardless of whether your ministry is church work, you're full-time in the ministry, or you are working in the world, you are in the full-time ministry according to Ephesians chapter 4. Number 8, everything begins in the church, comes out of the church, and comes back into the church. So if you weren't here in the past several weeks, you must listen to the messages. This book will change your life. It's very, very important that you get all of this. Now we're going to go into verse 11, read verse 11 to verse 13, and then we'll start digging into something new in the context. Verse 11, he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, this is what's new. Until, everybody say until, very important. Until, say it one more time, say until. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Stop right there. So after Paul lays out the function of the fivefold ministry, that these gifts are given to equip the saints for the work of their ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. After he gives the function of what we know as the fivefold ministry gifts, now in this verse 13, he's laying out the duration of the function and of the ministry of the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. There is a duration, because the reason why I want to bring this out is because there are some people that are basically saying that the church is not relevant anymore. It's become irrelevant, that God is going to do something new now. He's going to operate and work outside of his church. That the church is something that God used in the old. Now in the new, God is doing something brand new. That the church is not God's plan to win the nations any longer. But here's what I want you to see, and this is very important what Paul is saying. He is basically saying that the fivefold ministry gifts and the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, will continue until, say it one more time, say until. Until is very important, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so Paul gives us the duration. Now it's very important that we look at this, because what Paul says here, until we all come. Now listen to what he says. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. Until we all come and mature to this perfect man. Until we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when you read that, you've got to understand that that's never going to happen fully in this lifetime. That will fully take place when we are all glorified in the resurrection, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we receive our rewards, that's when this will fully be manifested. We will never fully be unified. We will never fully reach the perfect man in maturity. Now, there's several reasons why. There's reasons why, because we will always have new believers coming into the body of Christ. And we will always have people in the church who will be at different stages of spiritual maturity. We will always have believers who are growing in the process of becoming mature in Christ. Not everybody in the church will ever be at the same time fully mature in Christ Jesus. We will always have people at different places of spiritual maturity, but we should at least be reaching towards perfection, towards being a full-grown man in Christ. And Paul says this as well, that we should no longer be children. We will always have children in the body of Christ. So Paul is not saying something that we can reach while we are here in the earth with believers at different places and in different stages. But he says this, until then, we will have the church. Until then, the church is relevant. The church is God's only way that he's going to fill all things and fill creation with himself. God doesn't have another plan. God doesn't have another way of discipling the nations. Ephesians 3:11 says that the church is God's eternal purpose. It has always been and will always be his purpose for the earth until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of Christ. So the church isn't going anywhere, folks. The second thing we see here right off the bat is Paul is presenting a contrast to us. The Holy Spirit wants us to see that there's a contrast here between maturity and immaturity. He's talking about a perfect man, a full-grown, mature man. And then on the other hand, he's saying, don't be children anymore. So we see this contrast between maturity and immaturity, between a mature man and a child. He's got a contrast here working. He wants us to see that he is going to be talked. This is going to be the theme of the context. The theme of the context that we're reading is that God wants us to get moving. He wants us to move along in our spiritual maturity. Remember, Ephesians is the book of the maturing of the saints. We cannot get stuck in chapter 2. We cannot get stuck in chapter 3. We've got to move on in the chapters. We've got to mature. And so here Paul is going to talk to us about growing up and maturing. He's not just talking about the progressive maturity of the church as a whole, but he's also talking about us as individual believers and members in Christ's body. The Spirit of the Lord is going to speak to us about growing up. Now, the Word of God likens spiritual growth to three stages of natural growth. There was one time I did a series on spiritual growth, and I used this in my series, that there are three stages of natural growth that reflect or show us something about spiritual growth. And God often gives us things in the natural to understand spiritual truths. The three stages of natural growth is the baby stage, the children stage or adolescent stage, and the adult stage. Three stages of healthy, progressive, spiritual or natural growth. Well, the same thing goes in the spirit as well. There are three stages of spiritual growth. There's the baby stage, the adolescent stage, and adulthood, the man stage, adulthood in spiritual growth. The word that Paul uses here for children is a very important word. He says, don't be children anymore. The word children comes from the Greek word that means one who cannot speak or articulate clear words. He's not talking about an adolescent. He's basically talking about a little child or an infant. He's talking about a child who has not developed yet to the place where they can communicate, where they could speak words that are clear and understandable. So he tells us, do not be children any longer. And so when you look at verse 14, Paul gives us two characteristics of spiritual immaturity, being children in the spirit. Let's go ahead and look at it. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro. So when he uses this word, tossed to and fro, he's talking about a ship or a boat that is on the open sea, without a rudder, without a sail, just given over to the waves. And wherever the waves go, it tosses the ship or tosses the boat. He says, do not be children or little ones that are tossed to and fro. And in the context, the waves in this verse are the circumstances of life. You see, without stability in life, we are given over to the mercy of our circumstances. Spiritual babies in Christ are emotionally and spiritually unstable. They have not yet been rooted in the Word of God. They're not yet rooted in Christ, in the nature and character of God. They have no strong relationship with the Lord yet. They have not yet discovered their new identity as sons and daughters in Christ. And because of this, life can become exhausting for the Christian who is not growing. I'm not talking about the bona fide baby in Christ. See, for a baby in Christ, one who just comes to Christ, we don't put unreasonable expectations on them. They're babies. I mean, would it be right for you to take your newborn after 2 weeks and said, come on now, what are you doing taking so long? Get up and walk. I got to carry you around. Come on now. Get up now and walk. I mean, wouldn't that be unreasonable? So there is reasonable expectation on every baby who comes into the kingdom. Paul is not talking about one who was a bona fide baby. If he was, he would have never said, don't be babies anymore. Come on now. He would have never said that. That would not have been right. He was talking about babies in the Lord when they should be adolescents now. He was talking about someone who was stuck in their journey of spiritual maturity. And so for the one who is not growing, but should be growing, life becomes exhausting for them. And again, the very fact that he says no longer being children, it suggests that they should be at a different place. They're not growing. They're not maturing. They're emotionally and spiritually immature when they should have been a lot further along. Paul also makes reference to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to look at this. Here's what he says. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I wanted to or would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants or babies in Christ. Look what he says. I had fed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarreling with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another one says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you just acting like people of the world or people who don't have the Spirit of God? And so there's a couple of things I want to draw your attention to. The first thing is that Paul is talking to believers who are still stuck on the milk instead of eating solid food. Again, you could see that there is an example of a baby in the natural who needs to have milk from his mother or her mother and cannot eat solid food. So that's expected. Isn't that expected for a legitimate bona fide baby? But not the ones that Paul is talking to. Paul is saying you still want the baba in your mouth. I should be giving you solid food now, but you're not able to take the solid food, so we got to keep that baba in your mouth. Something's wrong, Paul is saying. You should have been further along by now, but you're not. You're stuck. You're not growing spiritually. You are still immature. You're still looking to be fed by somebody else instead of feeding yourself. You're still a dependent. You still are a consumer. You should be further along than you are right now, but you are not. The second thing that we see here, this is good, that Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth, follow me, 3 years. 3 years after this church was planted in the city of Corinth. What does that tell you? Well, it tells me that after 3 years of being a Christian, you ought to get off of the milk. You ought to get off of the baba. Come on now. After 3 years, there's more responsibility given to you. You are expected to now stand up and start walking. You are expected to mature. If you are still a baby, come on now. If you are still on the bottle, if you're still a dependent, if you're still looking for a handout, if you still are a consumer, after 3 or 4 years of being a Christian, there is something seriously wrong with your spiritual journey with God. Paul is saying you should be beyond that after 3 years. The next thing that I see that is very important, and you don't want to miss this, is that Paul is writing this to a church that speaks in tongues, that are prophesying, that are moving in the word of knowledge, in the word of wisdom. Not only that, Paul says, I believe in the first chapter, he tells them and he basically praises them and says this, you don't come behind in any of the spiritual gifts. In other words, they had all of the spiritual gifts in operation in the church at Corinth, but Paul is reprimanding and he's telling them that they are still babies. You know what that tells me? You can pray in tongues. You can move in the gifts of the Spirit. You can prophesy. Just because you can move in the gifts of the Spirit does not mean, I say it again, it does not mean that you are mature. It does not mean that you are along in your Christian maturity. It doesn't mean that you are a mature believer. You can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can move in the gifts, you can lay hands on somebody and get them healed and still be a baby carnal Christian. And just because you have spiritual gifts doesn't mean that you are mature in the Lord. All that in this couple of verses here. And so Paul is getting on them. And he's basically saying, you need to move along now. So the first characteristic we see of the baby believer is that the baby believer is unstable. Unstable, tossed to and fro. The second thing is, in the text, is that they are easily swayed and manipulated. They are easily swayed and manipulated. And let me show you what Paul says. Look at verse 14 again. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So Paul is saying, listen, you've got to stop. You've got to grow up now. You can't be children any longer, babies that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now follow me. Immature believers are prime targets to fall into false, erroneous doctrine. And the reason why is because baby Christians are gullible. They are open to anything that sounds good, anything that sounds deep, anything that sounds mystical or spiritual. They are ready to swallow it whole. Immature believers are prone to a lot of mixture. They might be growing in certain areas, but there's all types of mixture. They're digging into things that they ought not be digging into. And the reason why is because a baby believer has not yet sharpened their discernment. They are not yet rooted in the truth of God's word. They are swayed by what sounds good, by what tickles their ear. But folks, there's a big difference between what sounds right and what is right. And you see, there's something about babies in the natural that everything they pick up, they want to put it in their mouth. Come on now. I remember when Jace was just starting to learn how to walk, he was in the lobby and he was walking, then falls to his knees, and he was crawling over to the door, the glass doors in the front. And you know, at the bottom of those doors, they have those, you know, really clean and sanitized door stoppers. And so the door stopper just happened to be up and looked just like a big blow pop. And Jace crawled over to, and I watched him from a distance, but I couldn't reach him. And he's, oh, and he started sucking on the door stopper. Now that's understandable. Come on now. That's expected for a little bona fide baby, but not for somebody who ought to be beyond that stage. Come on now. And so there's something about babies. They just wanted everything that they could put their hand on and grasp. They want to stick it in their mouth. And so here, Paul is saying that they cannot be tossed to and fro any longer by every wind of doctrine. And notice what he says here, and the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now that's a mouthful, but I love this because this is what it really means. When Paul uses this phrase, the trickery of men, it's an ancient word that was used for dice or rolling the dice. And when he says the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, it's in reference to deception and craftiness in a crap game. And so when a baby believer is not interested in maturing, not interested in growing, when a baby believer thinks that they don't need to be discipled, when they refuse to submit to spiritual authority or become a member of a local church, when they think they could just kind of blow with the Spirit from one church to another church, when they just church hop and never become rooted in the house of God, when they think they are more highly of themselves than they ought to think, when they think that they are more mature than they really are, that they don't need anybody in their life, they don't need anybody in their face. Folks, they are in a crap game with the devil, and the dice are loaded, and it's not going to be before long that they are ensnared to the captivity of the enemy. That's what Paul is saying. The trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But when you look at what Paul is actually saying specifically in the context, he's talking about people who are in the church. What? You got people like that in the church? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Yeah, they're in the church. They're in every church. And so he's technically speaking about the ones who have made their way into the body of Christ. And these are people who are in the church, but they are taking advantage of people. He's talking about opportunists. He's talking about people taking advantage of the vulnerable, taking advantage of the naive. He's talking about taking advantage of the ones who don't have spiritual discernment yet. Maybe because they have not yet been established in their true identity or in the Word of God, and they give themselves over more to the approval of men more than the approval of God. Folks, these are opportunists that find their way into the body, trying to suck you into something under the guise of spirituality, or under the guise of love, or under the guise of, well, you're supposed to be supporting me because I'm a Christian. You got to be part of what I'm doing. No, these are opportunists, folks. They're just looking for anyone that they could use to push their agenda. I want you to see what it says in this translation, because it's very clear. This translation says, by the trickery of men and the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit in the church. So we all need to grow up. We all need to move forward. Wherever you are in your spiritual growth, you need to be moved. There's no neutral. Yeah, some people, how they're doing? I'm pretty good. Well, are you advancing? Are you growing? Well, I'm kind of in neutral. No neutral. There's no neutral in the kingdom. No neutral. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. But there's no, you can't just stay still. You're either going forward, you're growing, or you're becoming carnal. You're going backward. Little by little, you're backsliding. But there is no neutral. So wherever you are, you've got to move yourself along in spiritual growth. So again, going through the baby stage, the children stage, it's all legit, but it's not legit when you should be further along than you are. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, Paul said, I put away childish things. So Paul understood when he was a child, hey, it was expected to think like a child, reason like a child, act like a child. But there came a time that he had to transition into adulthood. And so he put away childish things and he continued to grow and became a man. He's not just talking about in the natural, he's talking about in the spiritual as well. So folks, it's time to grow up and put away childish things. I want to read verse 14 and 15. He's continuing the thought. Look what he says. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Look, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things, in him. Who's the head? Even Christ. Verse 16. From whom? From Christ, from the head, the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So I want you to see what he says. Thought hasn't changed. He's still talking about growing up spiritually, becoming unstuck, moving on in your maturity. He says here, from whom? From the head, or from Jesus. Every joint supplies something to the body. The joints. Now, what are the joints? The joints are where the bone meets. He says every joint is going to supply something to the body. The joints he's speaking about in the context are the fivefold ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they become a joint that supplies to the entire body. So the joints, it's important to understand this, the joints are to supply. But it says, in whom the joints supply. The joints are connected to the life source. And they get grace and life from Christ, the head, and they give and impart grace and life to the entire body, fivefold ministry. But it doesn't stop there. A lot of people think it stops there. Well, come on now, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the preachers, the ones who preach on Sunday, they got to be the one that supplies all the life. They got to be the one that takes care of business. They got to be the one that preaches. They got to be the one that counsels. They got to be the one that does the hospital visitations. They got to be the one that, you know, that does all the administration. They got to be the one that blows off the front step with a backpack, I heard. And so this is the way people look at it. The ones who are in the full-time ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, they're the ones who do the work because, see, it says, see, the joint supplies to the whole body. See, the joints are supposed to supply. But no, there's a flip side to this. I want you to see what Paul says here. He says this, and this is very important. He says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. First he talks about the joint supplying. Now he's talking about every single part in the body must become a supply, not just the joints. The joints will supply certain types of grace and life, but somebody say every. Say, that means me. Every single part becomes a supplier. Every single part of the body functions. Every single part of the body contributes to the body of Christ. There should not be one member of the body. If you are a part in the body, then you must contribute. You must be giving something to the overall working of the body of Christ, regardless of your vocation, regardless of your calling. Every single part. Paul says every part must do their share, not just the joints, every part, not 50% of the parts, not 60, not 80, not 90. Every single part must become a supplier. Now, this is important because we have to stay true to the context. He is talking about spiritual growth. He is talking about the maturing of the believers. And you see, when a believer is not maturing and they stay a baby and they stay an infant and they stay stuck on the bottle, all they want to do is they just want to stay a dependent. All they want to do is just stay a consumer. All they want to do is somebody to feed them. All they want to do is to just consume, just take. No, Paul is saying, no, stop being children. He's saying to the body of Christ, evidently in the church at Ephesus, there were some that were stuck. There were some that weren't moving along. There were some that were getting comfortable and just staying a baby Christian, staying a dependent, staying a consumer, staying a taker. Paul is saying, no, get up and get going. Every single part must do its share. If you come into the body as a new believer and you become saved, you're a baby Christian. No, you should be a consumer. You should just sit. You should just drink in the Spirit. You should just sit there and learn the Word of God. There should be no expectations on you. But folks, there comes a time when the child puts away childish things and moves on. There's got to come a time where you rise up and stop becoming a dependent. Stop looking for somebody to give to you. Stop being a handout. Instead, being a supplier, being a giver of your gifts, of your time, of your treasures, of your talent. Every single part in the body must contribute to the overall success of the body. Every part. There are two types of people in the church. Like Paul says, the ones that supply, the suppliers. Every part should supply. But the two types of people are the suppliers and the drainers. The ones who drain. There's something about a drain that just sucks everything up. everything flows to the drain, right? Everything goes to the drain and it just sucks it up. It sucks it down. Paul is saying, don't be a drain. You cannot be a drain. Rise up and become a supplier. Begin to give of yourself. Begin to give of your time. Serve well in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're working on Wall Street. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor in the hospital. It doesn't matter what your vocation and what your calling is. Every single part, I'll say it again, every single part must be a supplier into the body. And when every joint and every part begins to supply, it says it builds up the church and edifies the church, building up itself in love. That's God's plan. Every part supplies. I'm going to end on this. I'm going to end right here. Look at this. Paul says this. So I tell you this. It's continuing the thought. He's not shifting. Listen, he's not shifting topics here. It's continuing the thought of growing up spiritually, getting unstuck, maturing. Instead of living as a consumer, living as a taker, become a giver and give of your life and supply something to the body. He's not stopping. He's talking about growing up spiritually. Look what he says this. He says, next verse. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They have no sense of shame. They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Again, in these verses, Paul is continuing his thought about the need for believers to mature and grow up. And he tells those who are acting like baby Christians, he tells them basically, you should be further along at this point, but you're not. Then he says, stop walking like the Gentiles. He's talking about an unbeliever, one who doesn't have the Spirit of God. He's basically saying, you're living just like the world. You're living just like one who doesn't have the Spirit of God. You're living just like one who hasn't been redeemed. In fact, you really can't tell the difference between where you are and where a Gentile is who doesn't even know Christ. That's what he's saying. He's starting to explain something that confuses a lot of Christians. And it's this, that Christians can look just like sinners. When a Christian refuses to grow, they stay carnal, the scriptures say. Carnal means they're flesh ruled. They're ruled by their flesh and their unrenewed mind, not by the Spirit that's within them, or not by the word. They're not governed by God's word or by God's Spirit. They're ruled by their sinful nature, their unrenewed mind, their emotions. They act just like the world, and this is what Paul is saying. And so these verses, they're a strong admonition to the believers. He's talking to the believers who are babies, not legitimate babies, not legitimate babies, babies who should be growing up and maturing spiritually and becoming a supply to the overall body of Christ, but they're not. And he's basically admonishing them to grow up, stop acting like ones who don't know Christ. Now, we're going to unfold all this as we get into this next week, but I just want to stop here on that note, and everybody stand to their feet and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of the living God. And Lord, as we unfold these verses, verse by verse, thought by thought, it's not just the church at Ephesus that is being spoken to or encouraged or instructed or admonished. But Lord, it's the church in the here and now. Not just for New Beginnings Community Church, but this is a message for all churches in all ages that we must move on in our spiritual maturity and not stay baby Christians and just be takers and consumers and drainers, but rising up and growing and taking more responsibility for our lives and growing up to become more intimately acquainted with who you are and maturing spiritually and emotionally, that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro like a boat given over to waves without a rudder, without a sail, but that we all would move on wherever we are in our spiritual journey. Lord, this is a great message before 2018. As we look into the new year, that we unstuck ourselves now. And with your help, God, help us to grow up. Help us to own those places in our life that we've been spiritually immature, where there's jealousies and envy and competition between us. We can pray in the Holy Ghost. We can move in the gifts of the Spirit, but we could still be spiritually immature. Help us to take responsibility and own it and ask you to forgive us, because we should be way further along than we are. We want to be off of the bottle, God. We want the meat. We want the meat of your word. We want our discernment to be sharpened. We want to become spiritually in tune with you. We want to grow in your nature and your character. We want to be shaped and conformed more and more into the image of Jesus. We want to be well on our way towards developing unto that perfect man, mature man in Christ. And we want to be a joint and a part that supplies life and grace to the body. Help us, Lord, to change our mindset that the body of Christ, yes, it is a place that we do receive. We do receive, God, but if that's all we do is receive and take and consume, Lord, we don't have a full revelation of the church of Jesus Christ. Paul said that every joint and every part supplies to the body, to the edifying of itself and the building up of itself in love. Shift us, God, into being a supplier. Move us along in our spiritual growth with your help, Holy Spirit, with your grace, with your life. We want to grow. We want to grow. Lord, if we're backslidden, if we've moved far away from you, if we've lost our passion, lost our fire, we come before you. We ask you to forgive us, cleanse us and wash us and give us a fresh fire to know you, to grow, to move along, to be a blessing and not just be blessed, but to be a blessing to others, to be a supplier of life and grace. Wash us and cleanse us in your blood. And light, ignite a fire on the inside of us to grow, to pursue you, to seek your presence, to grow in the intimate knowledge of God, that we would be well on our way to becoming everything you've created and designed for us to be. We love you, we honor you, and we bless you, and raise up your church to be working on all cylinders. The effectual working of every part. The effectual working of every part. That your church operating at its full potential on all cylinders. Every member supplying life and grace to the body. We love you, we honor you, and we bless you. We receive your word today. Prepare us, prepare to launch us into a whole new year, God. Get us out of our rut, out of our religious routine, out of what we think is a neutral state Lord, get us out of that and move us forward by your presence, by your power, in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen. Well, come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here. And the cafe is now open. The resource center is open. The student ministry table is open. This will be your last day to order the hoodie or the shirt. So if you want to do that, take advantage of that today. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your holiday weekend. We'll see you next week, or we'll see you Friday night, church-wide corporate prayer, 6:30. Be blessed.